happy Father's Day to you fathers. Huh? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I want to, this morning, this is actually going to be a Father's Day message. And I would like for us, if we would, to please stand. If you can turn in your hymnal and you can follow along if you'd like, or if you would just like for us to, for me to read it for you, I will be glad to do so. But what I would like you to do in the honor of the reading of the Word of God is please stand. I'll be reading out of Genesis 21, 1 through 3, and then I'm going to flip over and read from Genesis 22, 1st and 2nd verses. Genesis 21. Then the Lord took note of Sarai, and he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Now, chapter 22. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. Let's pray. Father, as we approach your word this morning, we are very careful that hopefully handling this word of yours. May you be honored and glorified in it. For it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Father's Day. It's a day when loved ones try to find the perfect gift for Dad. Now, we're not perfect. And finding that perfect gift is a little difficult, especially for somebody who's got everything, right? But there really is no greater gift, short of a relationship with the Lord, than the gift of children. Fatherhood can bring great joy. It can also bring deep sorrow. Being a father is a privilege and carries with it a tremendous amount of responsibility. Some of us no longer have our fathers with us, and we miss them. They have gone on ahead of us. Especially do we miss them on this day. Now, my father is 85 years old and has just completed his last round of chemo and radiation treatments. He was very sick after the fourth of the six chemo treatments. It was hard to know that Dad once again was going through the treatment for cancer. But I was real pleased, glad to hear that last Thursday he was back on the golf course, playing a round of golf. Now, he was not able to do the things he enjoyed after he was diagnosed with lung cancer for the second time. But I'm pleased to say that he's sitting here in the third row back, and I am very proud of my dad. Excuse me. Children are a blessing from God. You cherish the moments as they grow. Phrases like, pick me up, Daddy. Or watch this, Papa. That sure does a heart good. They grow up so fast, and before you know it, they too are parents. And there you are, a grandpa or a great-grandpa. The cycle continues from generation to generation. So let me ask you this morning, what legacy are you leaving the next generation? In today's scripture, we're told of a father's love and his faith for God. God had told Abraham he would have an heir, and that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And much time passed. Abraham was growing old, and the promised heir has not come. It seemed to Sarah, Abraham's wife, she would not bear a son to him. So she convinced Abraham to have relations with his Egyptian maid so a son could be born to him. I want you to look with me at Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarai. Hagar conceived and bore a son to Abraham. His name was Ishmael. He was Abraham's firstborn son, but he was not the son of promise. He was not God's chosen one to be the heir. And Genesis 17, 1 through 5 states, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations.'" Verse 15. "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her.' Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?'" It is a little humorous if you think about it. For a man 100 years old and a wife 90 years old to bear a child. By the way, Sarah laughed also. In fact, the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old?' The Lord said, 'Is anything too difficult for the Lord?'" So as we heard previously in chapter 21 of the opening scripture this morning, verse 2, "So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. They named him Isaac," which means, anybody know? Laughter. Isaac grew up into a young lad, and Abraham, he threw a feast to celebrate him being weaned from his mother. I'm thinking that was a big deal back then. Now, after these things, we read one of the most puzzling directives from God to Abraham. Look with me again at chapter 22. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and of course, Abraham, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. There was no mistake who he was talking about. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. I don't know about you. That just does not sound like the God who has revealed his loving, fatherly character to us, does it? Take your son and sacrifice him. There must be more to the story. So Abraham gathers everything needed for the sacrifice, and he and Isaac and two of his servants head out for this land of Moriah. Now, the name Moriah means God is our teacher. What could God possibly be trying to teach Abraham, and therefore us, in this directive? Let's look back at the scripture. Verse 4, they had traveled for 3 days. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Now, evidently, Abraham had been walking with his head hung down. And now he looks, and there is the place where his son's life will be required from his hand. As they approached, he commanded the two young men, the two servants, to stay put while he and Isaac went up to worship. As they ascended, Isaac questioned his father in verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. What must have Abraham been feeling? Sure, he was trusting God, but this was his son. We go on to read how Abraham prepared the altar and bound his son and placed him on the altar. Now I'm wondering what Isaac is thinking. The Bible does not speak of any protest or attempts by Isaac to get free. Abraham stretched out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! And he said, here am I. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now, I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. I can only imagine the relief that Abraham must have felt. Whew. Then the Lord provided a ram who had been caught in the thicket for Abraham to offer as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord, it will be provided." Let me ask you a question. Why was a sacrifice called for in the first place? And what was its purpose? Jeremiah 17:9 declares this about the condition of man. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And in Mark 7:21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." We are sinful beings, and our sin must be punished because God is a just God. He doesn't grade on the curve. The Bible teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The life is in the blood, and the sacrifice of the life is required for sin's remission. However, the sacrifice of bulls and goats were never adequate to complete the remission of sin. In fact, not even the sacrifice of Isaac would have been sufficient because he was not a perfect sacrifice. Now, Scripture tells of a father who loves his son. He speaks very highly of him in Matthew 3:17. "And a voice out of the heavens said, 'This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Again, in Luke 9:35, "The voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him.'" This voice was that of our Heavenly Father, speaking of Jesus, his only son. Jesus came to do the Father's will. He is the perfect Son of God and makes the sacrificial offering of himself, shed his blood, died, and rose again for those who will call upon him from a repentant heart. Jesus himself said in John 10:11-14, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus allowed wicked men to nail him to a cruel cross, and there was no staying hand of God the Father to stop the death of our Lord Jesus. As Abraham was about to plunge the knife, God stayed his hand. Not so for his own son. Matthew 27, Jesus cries out from the cross, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," That is to say, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember, before he was arrested, he had prayed to the Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. Romans 8:32 states, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And if you have eternal life, you have all things. Isaac asked his father, Father, behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb? And Abraham responded, the Lord will provide. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, has provided the Lamb of God, Jesus. So, as you celebrate this Father's Day and you reflect on what legacy you are leaving your children, leave them knowing that you loved the Lord, His people, and you look forward to the joyous reunion and celebration with Him in glory. Let us pray. Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. O great God and Father, we owe a gigantic gratitude to you. We owe you a debt that we cannot pay, but Jesus paid it. For this I thank you. I thank you that you indeed are our Father. I thank you for our fathers and the legacy that they will live, hopefully, in Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.